Matt thought he'd never get to sleep. He finished the book he borrowed from Aunt Jane, then he lay with the light out, listening to the wind howling round the cottage. There was going to be a storm. He thought about Robin closing the door and windows in Venture's study, about her anger and fear at the candles. What was that about? But before he could reach any sort of conclusion, he had drifted into sleep. He woke with the wind still clawing at the windows and the curtains glowing with the early morning sun. He told Aunt Jane at breakfast about the candles, but she had no more idea about Robin's reaction than Matt did himself. "Julius asked me to remove the carafe of water from his reading room," she said. "He always keeps water there. Perhaps they're just feeling the stress, like we are." She looked like she hadn't slept at all. Further discussion was cut short by the sound of a car outside. In fact, it was two cars, as well as four motorbikes. Matt and Aunt Jane watched through the kitchen window as the convoy of vehicles swept up the drive to the manor house. Two enormous black limousines, flanked by outriders in bulky yellow reflective jackets. "Mephistopheles Smith," Aunt Jane said. "This will be his idea of travelling discreetly."
"At least it isn't a helicopter," Matt said.
The business of running Venture's affairs had to go on. He was patron of several charities, was invited to give lectures and talks, write papers, review journal articles, meet with the great and the good, or at least the famous. Aunt Jane handled all those commitments and more. She managed his diary, organised his schedule, arranged his meals. So once again, despite the urgency of the quest for the treasure of St. John, Matt would be left to his own devices. They walked up to the manor house together, struggling against the wind that seemed determined to drive them back, away from the house.
"They say that if the leaves start to fall this early, then we're in for a cold autumn and winter," Aunt Jane said as they reached the shelter of the porch. "But then, they always say that."
Matt did not answer. He was looking at the cars and motorbikes parked outside. Stony-faced motorcyclists, still wearing their helmets, stood almost to attention beside their bikes. He imagined that similarly serious drivers were at the steering wheels of the two cars, but the windows were tinted so you couldn't see in. Matt assumed they could see out, guessed they were watching him every step of the way to the porch. Standing at the door was a man in a dark suit. It was a dull, blustery day, but the man was wearing sunglasses. Like the drivers in the cars, his eyes watched without being seen. The thin lips pursed into the semblance of a smile, and the man pushed open the front door for them.
"Thanks," Matt said.
The man had already turned away, all trace of the smile gone. Another man in sunglasses stood outside the closed door to Venture's study. He might have been the first man's brother, they were so similar, even down to the expressionless face. Aunt Jane clicked her tongue in annoyance.
"Mr. Smith, he's always so melodramatic."
"What's he do?" Matt asked.
"Who knows? Some sort of advisor to the government, I think. A spin doctor or a Whitehall mandarin or something."